Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to start today with an anecdote, a personal anecdote. In fact, I told this story when I was writing my book, The Prayer of Jesus. It's a day, quite frankly, I'll never forget. It's a day in which Kathy, my wife, read me a story from a book. I was in pain. I could hardly move. And of course, Kathy sensed the possibilities. She had a captive audience, and so she pulled up a chair next to the shallow waters of the tub that I was soaking in, and she began to read from a book. And the words were refreshing on the one hand, riveting on the other. They washed over me, quite frankly, like the balm of Gilead. And within moments, I was completely oblivious to my pain. She was not reading stuff from shallow people who splash around in surface things and then attempt to write about the deep. It was not the stuff of non-peakers talking to non-peakers about peak experiences. These were the words of someone who had escaped the shallowness of his own soul, someone who had plunged deep into the ocean of God's immensity. And as my wife read on, I was brought into an experience. It was an experience of the author and his family. They had traveled to the Great Barrier Reef. The father had come to snorkel. The son had come to scuba. And for the rest of their lives, both of them would tell stories of their experiences with the Great Barrier Reef, but only one of them had really come to know it. And I think that's an appropriate analogy for what we're going to be talking about in just a few moments. Most people, well, they snorkel in surface waters. They succeed only in burning their backs. They fail to comprehend that deep is where the noisy, trashy surface of the ocean gets quiet. It gets serene. It's where we give in to the quiet of a relationship with our Maker. It's where we step out of the shallow tide pool of our hearts and then step into the boundless ocean of God's power and His presence. It's where we get beyond surface things. It's where we plunge into a deep relationship with our Creator. And it all begins with a paradigm shift. And for the last week or so, we've been talking about that paradigm shift. It involves a book called The Culturally Savvy Christian. It's a manifesto for deepening faith, for enriching popular culture, and it's a manifesto for these things in an age in which this is needed, because we live in the age of Christianity Light. The book is available. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI, the author of The Culturally Savvy Christian is online with me right now. His name is Dick Staub. And Dick, it's great to have you on the broadcast.
It is great to be with you, Hank. And the last time I saw you, we were in a bus in Israel.
I remember that.
What a great experience.
It was a great experience. And this is a great book.
Well, thank you. You know, I just got back from New York, where I was part of the International Arts Movement and an event there. And, you know, for 20-some years, evangelicals have been gathering a guy named Mako Fujimura, who's one of the world's leading Nihonga artists and also a committed Christian. And he's an evangelical who has earned the right to be heard in the world of serious art. And it was refreshing to see the progress that we're making in terms of trying to rediscover the depth, as you were saying in your eloquent introduction, the depth of our faith, and how the deeper we go in our faith, the more we're able to create and bring to the world a richer expression of our faith through the culture that we create and the art and the books. And, you know, as you know, the culturally savvy Christian starts with the words, "In this intellectually and aesthetically impoverished age of Christianity light, it is heartening to remember that for centuries, Christians were known for their intellectual, artistic, and spiritual contributions to society. Bach, Mendelssohn, Dante, Dostoevsky, Newton, Pascal, Rembrandt, these all desired to glorify God and offered their work in service of others." And you contrast that with Charlie Sheen in the 24/7 coverage that we've had of this tawdry tale of a life unraveling, and you realize how far our culture has fallen in terms of its depth, and we are, as you said, splashing in superficial waters in our culture. But the even more frightening phenomena for people like you and me, Hank, is that unfortunately American Christianity in many ways has often become a mirror reflection of that superficiality. And so people with hungering souls are not going to find their souls satisfied in either the culture or in the faith community often. And as you said, this book, The Culturally Savvy Christian, is a practical kind of clarion call to get back to the depth of our faith and to take seriously avoiding conformity to a superficial and fallen culture.
Add to what you just said about the church. So often we see big churches. It seems like these churches are very successful. In fact, as you say, in many cases, they're mirroring the world and they're maybe even on par with secular media. But are they having a big impact?
Well, you know, I'll tell this story. I was in China one time, and we had the privilege of meeting as broadcasters, a small group of us, with a Chinese pastor who had spent 18 years in prison for his faith. And for 18 years, he was told all he had to do to be released was to renounce his faith in Jesus Christ, and he refused. And he held out his wrists and showed us the deep purple grooves of the scars in his wrist. And he told us that they had lied to him. They had told him that his son had taken his own life, that his wife had renounced the faith. He was desperate, but he clung deeply to the faith because as he told us, he thought of the words in Philippians, "Jesus made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He became obedient even unto death on the cross." And Paul said, you know, "Let this same mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." And so this Chinese pastor clung to his faith. Well, I got home from this trip literally a day and a half later after being with this Chinese pastor, and there was a postcard on the top of my mail. And it was from a local seeker-sensitive church, and it said, "Please join us for comfortable stadium-style seating. We'll give balloons for your kids. There'll be face painting, and we promise we'll never preach to you. We'll only tell you things that are going to make you truly successful." And I looked at that card, and I thought about that pastor, and I said, "My goodness, am I looking at simply a different kind of Christianity, or is what we're seeing in American Christianity even Christianity at all?" And it was a sobering contrast. And as you know, Christian Smith's study of youth in America, where he concluded that, well, first of all, I served on the Martin Marty's Public Religion Project, and we discovered that in 1998, of 18 to 22-year-olds, only 16% of them had stayed active in the faith of their parents. 84% of kids, when they left their parents' home, had discontinued any active involvement in their parents' faith. And then Christian Smith released his book in which he said, and of those who stay, many of them have a view of Christianity which is the equivalent of moralistic therapeutic deism. They think being a Christian is about being a nice person. They think it's about having their needs met. And they think God is like a parachute, you know, there in a case you need him in an emergency. And, of course, this is not the faith that we understand as Orthodox faith. We have a faith where if God is not central importance, God is of no importance at all. And so we have a lot of large churches, unfortunately, that are kind of entertainment centers and therapeutic centers, but they're not producing biblically literate Christians who have a depth of walk and faith that will sustain them through the ups and downs of life and that will, in fact, equip them to be able to share such a faith in this broader culture. And if ever there's been a time in America where we can see the need for renewal in individual hearts and lives, it's now.
Dick, talk about this issue of pop culture beckoning and postmodern Christians taking the bait. In other words, rather than being change agents in the culture, we are simply microcosms of the culture. How can that change?
Well, you know, popular culture is defined as kind of gimmicky. It's an entertainment culture, which means diversion. It's amusement, which can mean mindless. It's essentially driven by marketing and money and new technologies that get entertainment to us faster. But it's not characterized by serious arts or ideas. And unfortunately, American Christianity, and Mark Knoll wrote a lot about this in his book, The Scandal of the Evangelical Mind, when he opened with the line, "The scandal of the evangelical mind is that there is so little of the evangelical mind." He pointed out that American Christianity has grown large essentially through some of the same techniques. We've become an entertainment-oriented Christian community. We've become an amusement-oriented, kind of mindless. We have our own celebrities, just as popular culture has its celebrities. And unfortunately, American evangelicals have become known not for our deep Christian spirituality, nor for our deep thinking. We've become kind of known as big and pop. And the path back from that, in the title of the book, The Culturally Savvy Christian, is that God is calling us to be serious about our faith, savvy about faith and culture, and skilled in knowing how to relate our faith in today's culture. And that's the premise of the book, and that's what we explore and provide practical ways for Christians to make that journey.
I should mention that Dick Staub is an award-winning broadcaster. You can probably hear that through his articulation. He is a writer. He's a founder of the Kindlings, which is a movement devoted to kindling, or I should say rekindling, the creative, intellectual, and spiritual legacy of Christians in the culture. And he has been working since 1960 on this focus to understand faith and culture and interpreting each one to the other. Talk about that for a moment. How do you interpret faith to culture and culture to faith?
Well, you know, Hank, I came to faith in the 60s in San Francisco during that seismic shift and cultural revolution. And it was obvious that my generation was about, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. But as many people recall, it was also an age of spiritual questing. And, you know, the Doobie Brothers wrote "Jesus Is Just All Right," and Norman Greenbaum wrote the song "Spirit in the Sky," and Joni Mitchell wrote the song, you know, "We Are Stardust, We Are Golden, We've Got to Get Ourselves Back to the Garden," which was very referential to the whole Garden of Eden. And there was a lot of kind of theology being worked out in popular culture. And at that same time, as I came to faith, I found a church that was either cocooned or kind of hiding and fearful or combative with the culture, you know, just completely critical of those long-haired freaks, or conform to the culture, you know, becoming very much like the culture. And I began to study the Gospels to try to understand what it meant to truly be a follower of Jesus. And I began to see that Jesus marched to the beat of a different drummer. He was able to hear the voice of the Father. And unlike the religious people of his day, which were also combative and cocooned or conformed, Jesus was a loving, transforming presence in the culture. In other words, he was present in the world, not withdrawn from it. He was loving, not just doing combat, but he also was transforming because he represented the truth. And I saw that if I was going to be a follower of Jesus in my culture, I had to learn how to love this fallen world, how to understand the truth so that I could speak in transformative ways and live in transformative ways in culture. And I had to be present in the world. And so I began this dance of living a life that interpreted to the church what was going on in the culture in ways that could try to help them be more effective in loving and reaching that culture. But I also spoke into the culture in ways that could help them understand the good news of Jesus Christ. Because so much of what, you know, Hank, I think you know, in the 90s, I interviewed just about every National Book Award winner in the fiction category. And often people are turned off to contemporary fiction, but I found these people.
Hey, Dick, I'm coming into a hard break here. If you can hang on for just a second, I got a few questions for you on the other side of the break. Hang on, we'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Are you being conformed to the culture, or are you an ambassador for Christ? As Christians, we're called to be in the world while refusing to be of it. Dick Staub's book, The Culturally Savvy Christian, skillfully exposes the shallowness of contemporary pop culture and shows how millions of Christians have been led astray. But Staub goes beyond diagnosis to healing prescription, laying out practical guidelines you can use to safely engage our culture every day. As good ambassadors, we must understand the world we live in and transform it just as Christ and His disciples did. In appreciation for your gift this month, we'd like to send you The Culturally Savvy Christian by Dick Staub. Contact us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must learn to think Christianly. To do so, we need to steep ourselves in God's Word so that everywhere we look, we discern the lies of our culture against a backdrop of truth. Then we can use what we know to speak to the lost in a language they will understand. The Culturally Savvy Christian by Dick Staub is a book that skillfully exposes the shallowness of contemporary pop culture and shows how millions of Christians have been led astray. But Staub goes beyond diagnosis to healing prescription, laying out practical guidelines you can use to safely engage our culture every day. As good ambassadors, we must understand the world we live in and transform it just as Christ and His disciples did. To order The Culturally Savvy Christian for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the Hankronym series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankronym FEAT and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI.
or when you go online to equip.org. In Romans 12:2, Paul writes, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's perfect will is." The Culturally Savvy Christian by Dick Staub is a book that will teach you to be serious about your faith, savvy about faith and culture, and skilled in relating the two according to God's will. When you support the Christian Research Institute this month, we'll send you Dick Staub's The Culturally Savvy Christian. And remember that your gift, great or small, creates truth-filled resources that equip more Christians to become change agents in our culture. To donate, contact us at 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Let's return now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I am so delighted to have Dick Staub on the broadcast with me. He's the author of The Culturally Savvy Christian as well. Dick Staub is an award-winning broadcaster. He's a writer. He's founder of The Kindlings. It's a movement devoted to rekindle the creative, intellectual legacy that we should have as Christians transforming a culture. And one of the things that you say, Dick, is that if we desire fresh, cool water, we have to dig a deeper well. We will not find pure, refreshing water by digging a lot of shallow wells. And that's precisely what we're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, that actually was triggered in my mind by Houston Smith, who, as you know, is a scholar in world religions and was started out as a Christian and then explored a lot of Eastern religion. And then he heard this parable of the man who dug many shallow wells, and he realized that the secret was to dig a deeper well in your own faith. And that's what I think is happening with a lot of Christians. You know, Hank, I've moved to a place called Orcas Island off the coast of the state of Washington, and part of the reason I came here is there's a lot of artists here, there's a very intellectual community here, but it's largely a New Age community where people are kind of splashing around in shallow waters, and I wanted the challenge of being able to try to communicate faith in that context. And what you see is if you don't go deep in your own Christian faith and really understand, and I'm talking about a personal relationship with the living God, not just head knowledge, but that complete understanding that we have when we look at both the Old and New Testament of we love God with our mind, we love God with our heart, we love God with our soul. We are intellectually prepared, but we are also walking in a personal relationship with the living God. And these things don't come easily. You know, we need to devote ourselves to going much deeper in our own faith tradition and in our own relationship with God. And it's only as we go deeper that we will find the sicknesses in our soul addressed. That Jesus offers springs of living water. Jesus is the bread of life. The things that leave us unwell and spiritually ill can only be addressed through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, who brings Jesus Christ fully into our life. And so coming to a deep faith is the solution for becoming a well person. And only people who are becoming well are able to live out their faith in a winsome way in culture. And in this book, one of the problems that we have right now as we relate to culture is that we don't have a very complete or holistic approach to culture. And I try to point out in this book that as we become more deeply devoted to Christ and are prepared to be a loving, transforming presence, we occupy three different roles in this culture. On the one hand, we are countercultural like aliens. This world is an alien place. It's a fallen place. C.S. Lewis said the world is enemy-occupied territory. You know, and so we're not supposed to be casual about the culture in which we live. We shouldn't just be consumers of the popular culture. At the same time, we have an opportunity to communicate in this culture like ambassadors, and that's what we saw the Apostle Paul do in Athens, where he was quoting pagan poets, he was helping people find common ground, he was teasing them out to think about this statue they had to an unknown God. And all around us are conversation points and opportunity to share our faith. I've done a show for 7 years in a row now from Sundance Film Festival. And this year, Variety Magazine, the New York Times, all commented that this was the year of spirituality. And I wrote a piece in which I outlined 8 films this year that were spiritual touch points, conversation points, where we, if we are truly equipped in our faith, have opportunities to engage in conversation with ideas that the secular filmmaker is drawing out and questions that they're asking. And that's our role as ambassadors in culture. And so on the one hand, we're aliens with a resistance and a countercultural attitude about culture. On the other hand, we're ambassadors. But then the third calling that we have is to be the artist to create culture. And that's why I was excited this weekend to be at the International Arts Movement, where people like Dana Gioia, who was the former chairman of the National Endowment of the Arts and is a Christian, a poet, has, you know, done serious work that has been accepted broadly in the broader community and is raising spiritual questions. So we have a great opportunity in this fallen age to resist the fallenness in living a countercultural life, to engage in conversation about this impoverishment of American culture through being ambassadors for Christ, but also then turning around and doing something constructive about it, making better work, making better films, making better art. We have an opportunity, and I hope Christians who want to get this big picture of what's going on in faith and culture and then want to be part of the solution will take the time to read a book like The Culturally Savvy Christian and then apply it to their own lives. And for parents, it's a great way to understand what's going on in your kids' lives and to plant seeds in your kids' lives as a way that they, in fact, can play a role in this culture.
We're talking to Dick Stopp, and again, the book is The Culturally Savvy Christian. You can order online at equip.org. At Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI is the number to dial. I have one more question for you, Dick, and that has to do with the kids. I'm the father of 12 children, so this is something that I have a very intense and intimate interest in. The culture today has become the teacher of my children.
Yeah.
As much as I don't want to admit it, it's true. I mean, the church has them for a very short period of time every week. They do go to a Christian school, but by and large, the culture has their ear. How do you compete?
Well, I don't think we do compete in a certain sense, Hank, and I have 4 kids and 2 grandchildren, and the approach that my wife and I have taken is, first of all, when our kids are young, we very much controlled what they would consume. We didn't feel bad at all about saying no. As our kids got into middle school and into early high school, we engaged them in helping them know how to make choices, and we allowed them to make some choices, and then we'd sit down and talk to them about the movies that we watched, and we'd watch them with them. If they wanted to bring home music, we'd insist that we listen to it together and talk about it. And then as our kids reached the end of high school, we would begin to let them make some of their own choices, because it's good for them to make a few mistakes while they're still at home. But it's this ongoing conversation. My son was one of the creators of one of the most successful games in history called Myst and Riven. And he then went on, now he's at Disney Animation, and he was one of the 12 leads in this last film, Tangled. But I remember when Josh was 10 years old, he and his friend Ryan were having this conversation about, you know, how they were going to make lots of money. And I overheard in the back, you know, they were in the back seat of the car, and I thought this was a teachable moment. And I turned around, and at that time, William Perry was the most, you know, famous football player in Chicago. We were living in Chicago at the time.
The refrigerator. The refrigerator.
The refrigerator. And I said, Josh, who's more important, William Perry or Mother Teresa? And I'll never forget, Ryan looked up and said, who's Mother Teresa? And so the next weekend, I took the boys to see the Richard Attenborough film documentary on Mother Teresa. And as we walked out of the theater, Josh looked up at me and my son. He was 10 years old, and he said, Dad, there were a lot of people crying in that theater. And I said, why? And he said, well, because they saw somebody that really was trying to, you know, love and help people that needed love, and there's nothing more important to do with your life. And so we can have these kinds of conversations. My kids would all say that it's exasperating to them that I'll never let a movie go by without saying, what do you think that film means? What's it trying to say? You know, the lyrics of that song that you're listening to, what does that really mean? And I'm curious and interested, and I want them to become curious and interested, because I don't want them to just consume culture. I want them to appreciate works of art, but I also want them to think critically and to think Christianly. And, you know, we are outgunned and outmanned when it comes to bringing about a depth of faith in our kids' lives that can counter the culture, because the culture, the best minds and the most money in the world are being spent in trying to bypass parents to get to our kids. So we have to take seriously this responsibility of being culturally savvy Christians and helping our kids know how to do the same.
I want you to answer one more question for me. We're almost out of time, but this is a really significant issue from my perspective, and that is the issue of reading in general. I talk about the culturally savvy Christian, and I recognize as an author myself that less people are reading today than were reading a generation ago. We have very short attention spans. Half of that has been created because we live in an instant culture. But how do you encourage people to not only just get this book, but actually sit down and consume the book so that they can learn how to be culturally savvy Christians?
Yeah, well, that's a huge question, as you know. And Dana Gioia, who I just interviewed, the National Endowment of the Arts, had a project for the last 8 years called The Big Read, in which he set out to get Americans reading again. And I don't think it's a hopeless cause. And I actually do think young people are reading, but they're reading in shorter bursts online and so forth. So we have to, as parents, we can instill in our kids at a young age a love of reading. It's as basic as that. It starts in the home. We read to our kids. They love to read. They pass on reading to their kids. And I think that's the only solution. I also think that the church needs to stop dumbing itself down and needs to take more seriously the fact that kids can read scripture. You know, I mean, the idea that we have to do everything in a cartoon and entertainment format is ridiculous. You know, I see many young people fully capable of reading who love reading and enjoy reading scripture, and I know that it can happen, but it starts in the home and it starts with churches to take reading seriously. I do a show every month now with Earl Palmer. You may know him. He's a retired Presbyterian minister.
Yep.
And he was my pastor in Berkeley in the 60s. And the thing I remember is he would reference books that he had read almost every Sunday, and he made me want to read them. And I'd make lists of Earl Palmer books. And so when he retired and asked me to do a show with him, I said, well, let's do a show once a month on great books every thoughtful Christian ought to read. And he does this simple little presentation, and I interview him about it, and people can go online and see the list of books in advance, and then they can listen to that podcast. And it's a reading club. It's a national reading club. And it's getting people aware of what kinds of books are worth investing your time in, and that it's encouraging them to read them. And I think if pastors were more literate and more educated and more prepared to integrate good material into their sermons, and people would want to read it.
Hey, so, you said something just a few moments ago, and I got to follow up on that. Can you stick with me for a few moments?
Okay.
I want to talk to you about this thing you talked about, how we get information in short bursts. This is really important because I think the church is now repackaging itself so that it is dumbing itself down to the level that people are at. Is that smart? Is it not smart? How do we think about these kinds of things? I want to talk to Dick Staub about that in just a few moments. Again, the book, The Culturally Savvy Christian, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out online. Be right back.
The information age has arrived with many benefits, but it also has a dark side. Technology capable of delivering information both conveniently and rapidly has fostered a condition in some users known as information overload. As defenders of the Christian faith, we must be prepared to shepherd wayward travelers in cyberspace through the universe of information that the new technologies have wrought. Learn to be discerning in this age of information when you read The Mesmerizing Misinformation Maelstrom by James Patrick Holding in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, just go to equip.org or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man will return after this short break. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must learn to think Christianly. To do so, we need to steep ourselves in God's Word so that everywhere we look, we discern the lies of our culture against a backdrop of truth. Then we can use what we know to speak to the lost in a language they will understand. The Culturally Savvy Christian by Dick Staub is a book that skillfully exposes the shallowness of contemporary pop culture and shows how millions of Christians have been led astray. But Staub goes beyond diagnosis to healing prescription, laying out practical guidelines you can use to safely engage our culture every day. As good ambassadors, we must understand the world we live in and transform it just as Christ and His disciples did. To order The Culturally Savvy Christian for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS. God has spoken, and the Lights flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. Available from the Christian Research Institute is our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today on the web at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication featuring relevant, engaging articles with contributions from some of the most respected evangelical thinkers and theologians in the church today, as well as book reviews, witnessing tips, the insightful Ask Hank column, and so much more. Start your subscription today. When you become a Bible Answer Man monthly supporter, we'll send you the next 6 issues of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you. Just call us at 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Well, now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here once again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I am delighted to have on the broadcast Dick Staub. He's the author of The Culturally Savvy Christian. He's an incredibly talented radio broadcaster as well. I remember for years listening to the Dick Staub Show, and of course, Dick is a good friend, and I appreciate very much your insight into the culture. It's something we need to hear, Dick. And you said something just before the break that I just couldn't let pass, and that is this little short moniker, short bursts, that you said. You talked about how we get information in short bursts. bursts. Now, I want to relate that, if you would, to the church. There are churches that recognize the reality that people are getting information in short bursts, and therefore they're tailoring their sermons, they're tailoring their activities, they're techno-savvy. Is that good? Is it bad? How do we think about those things?
Well, that's another huge question, Hank, but I'd have a couple of things to say. First of all, I think we need to recognize that in Genesis chapter 1, we're told we're created in God's image, and we know that in Genesis 1, God is described as creative, God is intelligent, God is relational, God is moral. We have these human capacities, and our minds is one of the capacities that God has given us, and that's why in the New Testament, when we see the gospel, the good news is that God has put in motion a plan to restore everything that unraveled in the fall. One of the dimensions of the fall is our mind, our fallen minds. And so we're told that we are to renew our minds. You know, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this is a spiritual battle that we're in as it relates to people's unwillingness to use their minds. And we have moved into what Sorokin, a sociologist at Harvard, called the sensate culture, in which every great civilization has started with the understanding the importance of ideas and linear thought. And Neil Postman wrote a book back in the 70s called Amusing Ourselves to Death, in which he said, when you move into an amusement culture, you begin bypassing the mind and you go for senses and sensationalism. And that's what's happened in American culture. So when MTV started, they intentionally set out to create senses for young people, to appeal to their feelings and not to their minds. And so we've got a generation, including adults, by the way, who have basically been eating a diet of sensate culture. Feelings, touch, sight, sound. If you look at the typical Hollywood script today, it has 50% less dialogue than it did just 20 years ago. And so the diminishment of words is a reality, and it is, in my view, an aspect of fallen culture. In the beginning, we're told, was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And in the beginning, in Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. I mean, words have been significant for humans as a differentiator between us and animals since the beginning of time. So it is a spiritual issue, number one, which is why churches that simply conform to a sensate approach with their audiences, while they may grow large and they may make people feel good, they are incapable of helping people really go deeply into a relationship with God or to reach their full capacity as a human being created in God's image, because they're playing into the world's fallenness with its reduction of the importance of the mind. So I take this really seriously. I have been very resistant myself, in addition to my responsibilities at the Kindlings and writing books. I've gone on a church staff. I graduated from seminary 35 years ago, but never worked in a church until 3 years ago. And I do preaching at our church with a team of other people. And we just are refusing to compromise on the importance of thoughtful, biblical exposition, interpreting and understanding and exegeting Scripture, applying it in the contemporary world. But we're not backing off. And the interesting thing is, people on this island who tend to be kind of New Age and yet they are kind of intellectually precocious, they've been really they've been taking with to this. People want to think because they've been given a capacity for thought. So I'm a contrarian when it comes to the dumbing down and popularization of our faith, and I think it's we're in a very dangerous situation today where young pastors have not been trained to understand and exegete the Scriptures. They're often entrepreneurs. They often have a fairly superficial view of their faith. They're often very sincere, and they're often passionate, and they're leaders, natural leaders. But what we're going to end up with is something that we've been warned about, this America that's American Christianity that's 3,000 miles wide and 2 inches deep, and it's not going to stand the test of time. If you look in the scope of church history, I think, unfortunately, American evangelicals often think of ourselves as being a kind of a high point in church history. But I'm afraid that in the scope of church history, the 20th century, and as it's beginning to look, the beginning of the 21st century, American Christianity is going to be known as a sidecar event in Christian history, not a serious, not a faith that has been faithful and stewarded the truth that it's been passed on to us from generation, and certainly not one that has shaped culture. There's virtually nobody that believes that American Christianity is driving this culture. I mean, if we look at the problem in Corinth, Paul made it clear. The problem in Corinth was that the world was influencing Corinth more than Corinth was influencing the world. That same thing is true of America today. And your question about these sound clip approaches to Christianity is where part of the problem lies. We have a deep, robust, intellectually rigorous faith. It's simple enough for a child to understand in its most basic forms, but it's deep enough to sustain our minds for a lifetime. And that deeper faith is what will enable us to come to know God, to come to a peace with God and with our own life, and to come to a place where we can actually live out this faith in this culture.
But why not just capitulate? Jesus Christ is coming back. He may come back this May, if you listen to Harold Camping. Why get involved in training ourselves, learning the arts, being involved in taking over every single aspect of our culture? Why be a contrarian like you? It's all going to be over pretty soon anyway.
Well, because, you know, Hans Ruckmacher, an art historian, had this phrase that is provocative on the surface, but I think deeply true, and it's actually the subject of my most recent book, which is called About You, Fully Human, Fully Alive. And Hans Ruckmacher said, Jesus didn't come just to make us Christian. He came to make us fully human. And if you look at the theological story, the story that we're in, God creates humans with this great capacity, just a little lower than the angels, with a capacity to create and to think and to relate to one another. And the fall results in a disruption of everything that was going to make humans wonderful. And as Irenaeus said, the glory of God is man fully alive, but fallen humans cannot be the glory of God. And so the story of our faith is Jesus being sent to restore us, not just for an eternal life, but for an abundant life now, and to begin to make us into the people that God intended us to be in the beginning. Christ is named as the first of this new race. And C.S. Lewis said Jesus didn't come to make us better people. He came to make us new people. You know? So we are supposed to be the fullest expression of what God made humans to be. And that only happens when God becomes central in our life, and it only happens when we become the fullest expression intellectually, spiritually, creatively, morally, relationally. And so we have to re-understand our own story in order to understand that God cares deeply about who we are becoming now and how that is reflected in culture. And, you know, you mentioned Harold Camping. I interviewed him back in the 90s when he said the world was going to end. And he was kind enough to go come on my show, Hank, the day after the world didn't end. And it was kind of a sad interview. You remember those days.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and now here we are, you know, look, folks, let's wake up. God has called us to be faithful to becoming who he wants us to be. It's not just about whether the world's going to end tomorrow. It's not going to be about whether, you know, whether we're going to heaven when we die. Those are important issues. It's about becoming fully who God wants us to be. That's how we glorify God, by becoming the unique person that he made each of you to be. And that's the exciting thing about being a follower of Jesus. And if we understood that story and lived it out in our lives, it would be a tonic for this superficial culture that is so impoverished spiritually and intellectually. And underneath all of the glitz and glamour and money and excitement and big soundtracks and movies, people are hungry. People's souls are hungry. And we're the ones that are supposed to provide what they need. And we're not going to provide it unless we've gone deep in our own tradition, in our own faith, and in our own relationship with God.
Get the book, Start a 21st Century Renaissance. Talking to Dick Staub. Dick, thank you so much for writing the book, for being on the broadcast, and for a life that's really making a difference for time and for eternity.
Thank you, Hank. It's great to talk to you.
As always, God bless you, my friend. Dick Staub, his book, The Culturally Savvy Christian, is available for your gift to the ongoing ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's a worthwhile book to read. Get it, use it, give it to your kids, and believe this, we can start a 21st century renaissance. It's not about giving up. It's not about capitulating. It's not about saying the end is right around the corner. It's about occupying. It's about being fully and truly what God created you to be. It's not just passing time. It's making a difference. It's being a culturally savvy Christian who can make a difference for time and for eternity. It's about a transformation that can happen in the West. And sometimes transformations begin with one person, sometimes with a group or nucleus of people. But we can't give up. We can't throw in the towel. We have to give an account for what we did. Remember, degrees of reward in heaven. Jesus Christ preached about that a lot. Not common in modern-day circles. And certainly not in modern-day sermons. But certainly common in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Culturally Savvy Christian. It's available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online. Check it out at equip.org. You can write me for your copy, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. My apologies to the callers. The interview was just too interesting. Hopefully it was interesting to you as well. I hope a lot of you got the book. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And in the meantime, get the book, read the book, and start a 21st century renaissance. So long for now. We'll see you tomorrow.
In Romans 12:2, Paul writes, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's perfect will is." The Culturally Savvy Christian by Dick Staub is a book that will teach you to be serious about your faith, savvy about faith and culture, and skilled in relating the two according to God's will. When you support the Christian Research Institute this month, we'll send you Dick Staub's The Culturally Savvy Christian. And remember that your gift, great or small, creates truth-filled resources that equip more Christians to become change agents in our culture. To donate, contact us at 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. We have the spiritual resources necessary for you to prevail in the battle for truth. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, right from wrong. But we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Will you stand with us today? Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI or just go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy.
Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. We encourage you to become a Bible Answer Man support team member through a monthly giving commitment. To thank you, you will receive a free subscription to our award-winning magazine, The Christian Research Journal. For more information on a simple way to become a Bible Answer Man support team member, go online to equip.org. Again, that's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI.